that has been undertaken between 2012 and 14. Just need to focus your attention, Chair. The work that has been completed, the scope was under the RAM project, so repair maintenance programs for civil work, infrastructure buildings and electrical installations, repair and renovation of site-owned properties within the harbours, administrative parks, public completion civil works, drainage, breakwater walls, staff dwellings, road and parkings within the harbours and jetties. Another scope associated with the slipways are the repair maintenance to slipways and mechanical installations, repairs to winches and drive gears, cables, electronic controls, concrete support structures, track and track support structures. Lastly, there's a big consideration for the proclamation of new small harbours, a process which is will be led by DAF. They have put together a process and a roadmap to undertake proclamation of small harbours in conjunction with Public Works, Department of Environmental Affairs and other state departments. The process is deemed to take between 6 and 12 months to complete. Some of the initial list of small harbours that are going to be looked at is Port Alfred, Port in France, Coast in France, Hornlitter by Port Shepson, Port Governor and Port Edward, and then others will follow. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. There's just a few cursory remarks before I avail the opportunity to members of Parliament to make their comments and ask questions. Suffice to say that Operation Pakisa is a general government focus. So if you go to the Department of Transport, if you go to the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries, you get exactly the same introduction. What is of importance to the Portfolio Committee on Public Works? We have also spoken to all the good intentions that the department has. This is what we'd like to do, this is what we'd like to do. But where the Portfolio Committee is going to hold you responsible is with regard and in regard to what you are actually doing. So for this presentation, in the main, we can listen to the noble intent. This is what we would like to do, this is how we are going to fit into government programs. But the next time we call you here, we'd like to have an update. How many projects can we point to? This is what we are busy with today. If you go to X province, if you go to X small harbor, this is what you will see. So it will no longer be a struggle of hopes and wishes. It will be, what are we doing in carrying out our mandate? Are there projects that we can point to? What are the difficulties? Where have we commenced doing something? So the presentation, I'm saying, and I put it into context, is generic with regard to its intent. All government departments, if you went to them today and said Operation Pakistan, they give you the introduction that you've given. And then from their perspective, they say that we intend doing this. But I'm just raising a flag that next time this will be good enough. We're going to say, what are we doing as public works? Where have we commenced? So, members, you have heard the presentation. I now avail the opportunity to members for comments, questions, inputs. The first hand I'm seeing is that of Honorable Caller Fant.
Just two queries at this stage. I'm wondering, I know in Durban Harbour, for example, which is a big tourist hub, with regular passenger lines going in and out. There was a well-developed passenger terminal for a while. It was shut down, and now I believe it's going to be reopened. I'm not sure if Public Works had been involved in that development at all. Perhaps you could just fill me in there. Is that Public Works or a municipal development? And either way, please detail any joint ventures that you have with tourism entities in the various provinces where the small harbours may be seen as tourism destinations. And also in slide 7, you say that the strategic intent of the small harbour entity is to provide safety, security, and territorial integrity to the Republic. But that integrity surely has to be upheld by the South African Police Service, but their maritime border contingent it has its own issues. According to the Auditor General's last big border study, their sea borderline control has a 96% human resource under capacity rate. Now, I don't believe that safety and security or the integrity of the Republic territorially falls within your mandate, so I'm very curious as to why you claim that it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Meh.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, I really support what you just mentioned in terms of the strategic intent, what is that they intend to do. But maybe in future, we need to be given more information. I was checking at in terms of the Small Harbour Development Program, there's a lot of, like you say, initiative program that you mentioned here. But in future, maybe you can clearly say, how, in terms of the target, how much are you looking forward to get? Because mentioning, the people empowerment, if maybe you can tell us how many people we do this time and whatever. They are not targets at all, it's just that it does a lot of information. And the other thing, Chair, is my last question. According to the presentation, somehow when I was listening, there's going to be some sort of joint venture or working with other departments. I just wanted to find out, is there any memorandum of agreement among those other departments? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Kopani, thank you very much, ma'am. Honourable Mrs. Erdi.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity and thank you for the presentation. My first question is on slide 3. I want some clarities. The second bullet says on the Operation Pakisa. It also places great emphasis on public accountability. How do you intend to do that public accountability? Then, Jefferson, it is a blur to me. What are proclaimed and what are unproclaimed harbors? How did the department go about to proclaim and unproclaim harbors? And why don't they have a list of all 12 harbors? It's only 12. And Chairperson, it is saying there are 50 unproclaimed harbors. I would have loved them to make it up into focus on these. Will be in this year. I know the APP settings are coming, but for the sake of this engagement, I would have loved them to pick it up this year, this harvest, this year, this harvest. Then, Chairperson, they say fulfilling the mandate in accordance with government's immovable assets. I would have loved them to say how far they've gone with immovable assets with regard to harbors. And they say that they will pursue a review of the policy basis during 2016. And this framework would be including small harbors as national assets, but it's a vague chairperson. There is an establishment of a small harbor development unit. I would like them to elaborate more as it is in the DG's office. And you know, last year I asked a question about how many applications has they received for this Operation Pakisa. You have seen as a thing there. They said the answer was they haven't received anything from any department thus far for Operation Pakisa. Is it still the case? How does it fit in? They say they have MOAs. Memorandum of Understanding, MOUs with departments. I would like them to zoom into the departments, what have they received, as this is a way of establishing jobs. And the last question, Chairperson, I think on the very first slide, they talked about the number there, jobs that were established in 2010. And they say that the contribution to GDP is 54 billion. And it would go up to 177. I would love them to tell us how many jobs were established in 2015 and what was the contribution of Operation Pakisa towards the GDP of this country. Thank you, Jefferson.
Honorable Adams, thank you. And then we proceed to Honorable Mr. Adams.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the PG and the staff for the presentation. Chair, this is a subject very close to my heart, as PG knows it. Operation Pakisa, specifically the ocean economy. When the President made the announcement of Operation Pakisa in the other, I think a year or two ago, it was said that Operation Pakisa would benefit the small man cooperatives and everything at the moment so far, but at the moment, at that time, and it was intended to do that. But at the moment, say, the small business are really struggling to get into or to get part of the benefits of Operation Pakisa, specifically in our oceans economy, specifically in our small harbors and all that. And, Chair, I've mentioned some things, but please, I don't want anyone to view this as a racist comment or anything. It's just a worrying factor what is happening currently at the moment. And it is real, it is there, Chair, as us, because these Operation Pakisa are supposed to lift communities, specifically rural areas, and specifically we look at our fishermen and all that. Sometimes they haven't got ASEAN Strike 6. The third bullet, you say the small harbors unproclaim a significant role to play in the social economic of communities. But some of the communities can't even access the small harbors because there is gatekeepers at the harbors. And if you haven't got the money, you can't, in actual fact, launch your boat or anything. You must pay to have your boat launched as a small-scale fisherman or sometimes as a recreational fisherman as well. Then on slide 8, Chair.
Honorable Adams, just before you move further, members, in fairness to the department and to add value to what we seek with our engagement, where you have just mentioned the community, and we are able to identify a particular hub and a particular community that are not benefiting from this. It does not help the department if we say that there are such communities, but it would add value and give the department a point that if we are able to say that in Kwagga'shoek, I know of this community and this particular hub, then we are giving a point that they can follow up. But if we are not specific where we can be specific, unfortunately, it is not helpful. It remains an academic exercise. So I'm just speaking with you, Honorable Adams. If you can identify a particular community, fishing communities that are not benefiting, that you think should be benefiting, let's identify them and be specific.
But, Chair, we look at the case of Hout Bay. There is the two boat yards. So one is the Hout Bay boat yard, which are owned by most of the recreational fishermen with the big yachts, and out by the well organized, but where small guys can't access the harvest because they haven't got a tractor or they haven't got a buggy to use the slipway as such. And I pay then 150 rand for these guys to use the slipway. So the gatekeeping there, as well as what is the space here behind. Just here at the waterfront behind there is a subway there. I'll get back to the name. No, just here in waterfront chair. Grangeray. The other one is at Solana Bay as well. And the other one is in St. Helena Bay, where there is gatekeeping in terms of that. And then on slide 8 that people are struggling with the leases, specifically in Harbour. There is this thing that one official by the name of Mr. Osiren is sitting on leases and doesn't want to renew leases. And he's giving all sorts of stories. And he says that he can't renew leases of people there because National Department has not given the money to Provincial Department. And then he says afterwards that Provincial Department or National Department has not had a discussion with Provincial Department. Now, when I tried to call him, he did not respond or answer back. And there is big plans that the community with some business people have got in mind. In effect, they want to build an ice-making facility there because, you know, some of these boats hose out and they need ice. They need ice for the 7 days that they are on sea because they can't refill ice on sea again. So an ice-making facility is priority, Half Bay, Cork Bay, Harvest. But again, gatekeeping and the struggling of the renewal of leases, specifically from the department. And then, Chair, also in what they want to do in slide 9, there's a facility there now. You know, the facility, where it belongs to IDC. But if that facility can be used, now IDC has said that although it's their facility, but Public Works are the holder. That's why they can't lease or sell the facility to again to partnerships. Big business in partnering with small the guys there. The curio shop, the maritime leisure, and all that they want to do there in our day. It is called the I'll get to that. Then on slide 10, you talk about the program, the community empowerment. But again, gatekeeping by big business. Some of these big business doesn't want to even assist these cooperatives. We're talking about Oceana, where Oceana has got the least, if you look at Wurundjeri and Half Bay in Light Track, they've got the least of most of the buildings in not some Lambeth Bay, Centralina Bay. They've got the least of most of those buildings standing on the harbours. Public Works leases it to them, and it's empty. It's empty. They want these guys, they want to do a trade-off. These small guys that got the quotas must then hand over the quotas to them before they could utilize that empty building that stand there. Now, these big businesses, but don't come and talk to us, talk to Public Works. We've got 99 years, some leases. Now, how are we going to empower communities when we've got these big guys in these areas that's stopping communities to process further and to progress further? But then the act on page 11, the aquaculture projects. It's all done by this aquaculture projects. But again, it's not benefiting the small scale fishermen. It's not benefiting the communities that it's supposed to benefit. The lease again has been signed by Public Works to the guy there that does that aquaculture farm. Again, it's a rich advantage business person or people, business people, partners that don't want to share with the small communities. They've got an extra fact what they've done now. They've changed the way some of the people that work there and they went to employ foreign nationals. Right there in Saldanha Bay. Right there in Saldanha Bay. And then, Chair, the Small Harvest Development Unit. I know that this unit had a meeting at one stage here in the Western Cape. But the people that they were supposed to have had the meeting with were left out. Big business and that attended the meeting again. Oceana, your Two Oceans, your INJ, and those type of people. Small business came to me. Fishermen and all that, they came to me and said, but we don't even know what's happening. Because big business again were on the forefront. DG, maybe they are correct, maybe not, but I'm just raising the question as it is there. Then on Okay, my Salim Sheikh, Honorable Adams, has asked that question. How many hours is there? What if you can name them? And then on slide 40, TG, we know that most of these harbors, Cork Bay, Gordon's Bay, where's this, Out Bay, are full of the sunken vessels. Full of them. Some of the vessels can't even come into. Again, what will public works do to partner or make partnership happen between big business and small business? Because again, the scope that they have said that when they had a meeting with the harbor development unit was that you need specialized equipment to remove some of these sunken vessels. But is this contract going then only to big business, or will public works force big business to partner up with small business? Because that was what Operation the Keys was it's all about. And then Chair, the last point on 16, why China and not Malaysia? Because Malaysia is the leaders in terms of ocean economy. Just want to get my head around that. Why China and not Malaysia, as Malaysia is the leaders in terms of ocean economy, in terms of agriculture, in terms of agriculture, and all that. Malaysia is the leaders too. No, thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member, thank you very much. Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by my colleagues. Here's some of the questions I wanted to raise. I just want clarity on the issue of the departments who are involved in this operation. My understanding from the presentation is that all the departments are involved. Agriculture, water, environmental preserves, and transport. But I wanted to know exactly how much is being allocated for public works, the role of public works in all of this program. Secondly, is question of slide 11, Pakisa Project Maritime Intellectual Property. Revitalizing of profession and marine civil engineering in the country. Specialized fisheries related to maritime education, high school and diverse focus on maritime enterprise, industrial development, maritime. I've got a child who wanted to be there. I wanted to know exactly where did you open, which pivot training this maritime intellectual property. Lastly, is question of military veterans. It is not true that the cadres are suffering out there. Really, when it says the Pakisa project, territorial integrity, we focus on unemployment military veterans. We are the one who got a list of the people who are not working, especially the cadres of the movement. Can you please just assist us where to find and give you the link of the comrades? Thank you.
Apology, Chair, I have one to add on if I may.
Okay, so before you do that.
When you have done, thank you.
Just before you do that, I might not have heard, but I don't remember hearing in the presentation of. The department made, there was any mention to military veterans. Was there such a mention? There was, okay.
That's exactly as was referred to slide 11.
Okay.
Slide 11, the Pakisa Project Territorial Integrity. I've missed that line, and hence my previous comments, but it states that the integrity will be protected with a focus group of retrenched and unemployed military veterans. Now, it sounds to me as though Public Works wants to establish or intend to establish an alternative security service, not under the SAPs, not under FANDF. I would like to know if these people are going to be armed, who will train them, who will supply their uniforms, determine their terms of employment, will they comply with the SERA Act, and how far along is the project, and what mandate does Public Works have to create such a military entity? Now, as my colleague, Honourable Kapani, said, there are no time frames given, no indications given whether these projects have been started, when they started, if they're about to start, when they should be completed. It looks more like a wish list to me than something I feel I'm meant to get my teeth into.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think this might be an opportune time to give the department space for a rejoinder. We have raised quite a number of issues, we have raised questions, we have raised our concerns. So, DG, your delegation, scope for a rejoinder.
Thank you, Chair. I will set up my colleagues to respond to specific questions that need to be asked, and I'll do the process.
I think in relation to the small harbors, the management of those harbors is one that was not up to standard. And members have alluded to a lot of complaints that they've received over time about how business opportunities and or leases have not been adequately dealt with. Now, the creation by the Director General of the Small Harbors Development Unit was to focus the Department of Public Works as well as to bring its fellow departments, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the Department of Environmental Affairs in the main, together so that they could jointly address issues pertaining to the harbors. The proclaimed harbors are those that have been proclaimed as fishing by the relevant department, which is Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, over time, and that's why they are called proclaimed harbors. There are 12 fishing harbors proclaimed many years ago. The rest of the coastline, save for where Transnet operates in your major ports of part of Farghana, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Mossel Bay, East London, Durban, and Richards Bay. Now those are proclaimed and they have an authority. The rest, save for the proclaimed fishing harbors, has never been proclaimed nor formally controlled and managed by the national government. And the Small Harbors Development Unit, working together with the other two departments, is to ensure that that coastline is protected in terms of the relevant acts of Parliament. And it is managed for the benefit of all the citizens. And that is the work that is being undertaken. Therefore, the four provinces involved, or must be involved, is the Northern Cape, Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. So that's just placing the issue in context. Insofar as in the proclaimed harbors, and even outside the proclaimed harbors, we had over many decades businesses operating for as much as over 100 years in these fishing harbors. Oceana, as it's called today, would have evolved over time to become Oceana today. Right? And so we have big fishing companies that do exist and primarily operate across Farghana. They used to be in Lambeth Bay and operate in Hout Bay and many of the others. But they finally have Farghana and Hout Bay. Okay? And they move towards the east. Now, in that respect, Public Works is the custodian of the physical assets on the land side and is responsible for the utilization of those properties. Therefore, you can rightfully direct that if we do not allow those premises to be utilized for business, then we are liable for that. The issue of fishing licenses, unfortunately, is within the realm and ambit of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. They issue their licenses. We are the premises we use.
Excuse me, I think gentlemen, sorry, no. I must mention fishing license because there are no fishing license, it's not public license. I'm talking about a harvest, the property on the harvest, Doran Bay, Saldana Bay, and all that which you alluded to. That is what I'm talking about. The empty, unused spaces there. These by these
buildings. Yeah, okay, thank you.
I'm coming to that point. So, we have a number of businesses operating from small to very large. Now, ours is to ensure that, one, we regularize the current occupation through a formal lease agreement. The leases were last formally renewed around 2005. And since then, there's been what we call a month-to-month. So, in that respect, we have a program. I've noted the complaint in respect to the conduct of officials. That's not new. That complaint was provided to us for quite some time now. What we have done, in order to address, we have a specific program that the three director generals of Public Works, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and Environmental Affairs convened a joint meeting with municipalities and all businesses in these 12 proclaimed fishing harbors. And we set in motion a process to engage with the businesses that are currently there and with new businesses to ensure that their business requirements and are taken into account in respect of the lease renewals. Another definitive meeting was convened by the Department of Environmental Affairs and the Presidency in terms of Operation Pakisa on or about the 15th of October here at the waterfront, the head premises of the Environmental Affairs. Also bringing together all stakeholders in terms of ocean economy to review the progress that has been made and to chart it forward. So in that respect, we have a vigorous program of renewing leases. We have received 107 applications, and we are processing those 107. However, is disturbing is that there are about 87 that have not made any application for renewal to date, despite our teams engaging with them. Okay. Now, in the Northern Cape, we work with the Provincial Public Works, and we are attending to their lease requirements in Onderkirkby and Port Nolloth. In the Western Cape, we are working with the province and the municipality. There's a memorandum of agreement or understanding that has been fashioned between ourselves and the province, and in the engagement of each of the cities, the municipalities, there's a further engagement. So we started, we are to roll out in respect of the municipalities towards Cape Agulhas on the east, as well as to Cedarburg on the west. So those engagements are unfolding, and the engagement with the municipalities is also to consider what are the spatial and economic development framework priorities of those municipalities. Okay? So that when the leases are renewed, they also are in line with the local imperatives. So to that extent, I thought I would just place in context, insofar as the question was asked about security. Now, it is common cause that the South African coastline is not properly guarded. Okay? It's common cause. Now, that is one because of how we ensure that the coastline itself is cleaned and properly managed. And so South Africa is vulnerable, okay, in the coastline in terms of criminal infiltration. Now, I want to share just two examples. We have twinned, and this is work we just started over the last few weeks. Buffalo City, which is becoming a metro, and the metro of the city of Cape Town, where in terms of the metro powers, they do have certain policing functions. Okay? And one of those they are exploring is the creation of a municipal coast guard unit. Okay? In terms of which, okay, now the possibility of using and retraining and utilizing former military veterans. Okay? In the case of Buffalo City and Cape Town, these matters are being discussed. So it is at a pilot stage, and it will become groundbreaking if we can succeed in either of the two in respect of the Coast Guard management. What is understood, neither our South African defense nor our police will on their own be able to cover all the areas. Okay? And therefore, it will require a more creative way on how we can work with municipalities and other authorities to do this. So it's by no means a project that will be run by public works. It is how public works will have support municipalities and provincial governments in that respect, and then have to work with the requisite or with the appropriate departments and structures. Okay. So it is a process. We did not mean to create that impression. If we did, we do apologize for that. Okay. So, insofar as those areas go, the benefit of small businesses is our priority. Insofar as Outback goes, and that has been mentioned, Pradana as well as Santa Helena. In fact, we took a joint delegation of the department under the direction, under the physical presence of the Director General, to go and do an inspection in local and to engage with businesses and communities, and to ensure that our properties are properly utilized. There are quite a few buildings from Saldana, from Lambeth Bay that are properly utilized, that can create opportunities for new businesses. And if people are not coming to us and applying, then our approach is to go with the municipality and engage with communities to take up those offers. And so that will take a longer period of time. In House Bay, it is true, there is a property that was funded by the IDC that went into some difficulties. There was a meeting. It was about the first week in January this year. Our minister, our director general, and members of the community, in relation to these kinds of issues, a memorandum has just been received by the effective business owners of the previous venture to our house, so that we could interact with IDC to see how, if there was a possibility of getting that same business back in or allowing for that premises to be used for the benefit of the community. What is clear is that unless we get our empty buildings utilized, they do not all go well. They prevent other businesses from coming in. So the time has come for that lobster factory either to be used by a new venture, okay, and become productive and save the jobs that it should be providing. Okay. But there's been an expansion program. We can report that we've prevented the closure of the factory in Halby, which have meant 100 employees and approximately 1,000 dependents would have been affected. We've also got a commitment for the creation and expansion of that business and to create 93 new jobs over the next 2 years. Like that, we've worked in Hansby to ensure expansion of businesses. Now, we have to draw a balance between big business who have the capital and can expand, and as you rightly put it, have certain targets for big business in terms of how the downstream benefits can go to small businesses and individuals. In that respect, it is now common cause equally that big businesses depend on small operators to supplement their catches. And so it's a matter of formalizing those. Yesterday our minister, engaging with the property industry, began to set out that there will be a policy framework developed for not just harvest but for the property industry on how big businesses would be would have to agree to certain targets in terms of jobs created, business going to micro and small enterprises, and opportunities for black persons to enter the profession, in this case the maritime profession, okay, which is wide. And if we look at the maritime profession in South Africa, it is generally people who of European descent come with their appropriate skills. Okay? And we have to build the South African skill set in that regard. So the challenge in the maritime sector is greater than in any other industry, whether it's from boat building to the rest. So it is indeed a significant challenge we have. Or as the chairperson of the honorable chairperson of the committee put it, Operation Pakis are merely a framework and set targets. We as the department can maximize the entire coastline for the benefit. We do have projects working with the municipality in KwaZulu-Natal, the Hibiscus Coast. We have projects working with the municipalities in the Eastern Cape, Port St. John, in Tramba, that is South Alfred, in particular. We just started the Coast Guard project with the Gospel City, which is in Flint's planning phases. And we also encourage businesses to go out and invest. When we had a meeting on the 29th, we invited mayors and municipal managers from KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape, to come and one witness this engagement we were doing in the Western Cape for the 1200, as well as to learn and interact with businesses to attract them to back to the other provinces. So if you take the maritime and the aquaculture industries, they are not as developed in the Northern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, like the 12 fishing in the Western Cape. Mr. Lombard will talk about the infrastructure issues.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
A point of clarity. I'm new. Perhaps you all understand this. I certainly don't. The comment was made that the leases have been changed to month-to-month leases since 2005, I believe. Now, there are some businesses now who don't want to renew the leases. I know from where I come from, there are many instances where people arrive at a police station and they're locked up because the month-to-month lease simply hasn't been paid. I mean, that happens all over the country, so I'm presuming that if it happens there, it happens elsewhere. It seems a very bizarre way to run a business month-to-month, like hand-to-mouth, and very difficult for an entity to do any forward-planning if, in fact, they feel their lease is under threat, which it is every month, but they be told get out. So could I ask for an explanation for that, please?
Thank you,
Chairperson. No. What we want to do is avoid leases being on month-to-month. Since 2005, the leases were not renewed, and our intervention is to bring about stability and certainty in business, and we want to have proper leases in place so that businesses can invest and grow, whether they are small or they are large. And so we are now wanting to sign formal lease agreements with all the businesses, the existing and the new, so as to operate. In that respect, we have received 107 applications, and the vast majority are being processed. The disturbing one was that 82 to 87 have not made any application at all. And so we have to engage with them. Otherwise, we will have businesses operating who don't want to have a formal relationship that regulates their presence and operations in the harbors.
Once we are at the issue of leases, I note that your and the Honorable Adam Fell was about to say that in your contribution you made mention of a 99-year lease. So I'm sure that you would be wanted in regard to that. How many 99-year leases are there? What's their status, that type of thing? If you don't have accurate information, but some indication.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. But also, the part of the 87 that I was not wanting to renew the leases, it just takes people away because the same criteria for them to go back, a small business, to go and renew the leases. You know, we had and I'm sorry to use the word now, some white African people in Kilansby that has signed up a joint venture with the colored fishing community people there. And they wanted to lease buildings from Public Works. And then the lease was so high that even these business people says, no man, how are we going to let these poor people survive? We can pay the lease for about 4 or 5 months, but after that, I mean, and that is part of it, why people don't want to renew the leases, or why you don't get the poor communities coming forward to the front to say, I want to lease this building. DTI has spent 11 million rand on small boats. But these small boats are staying in Durham Bay under Oceana's property. But Oceana wants those guys to give a permit to them to utilize the buildings. And Oceana told those guys, you've got a 99-year lease with Public Works. So you can, whatever you do, get lost. You've got the lease with Public Works. Now, this is that we, how are we, how Public Works is doing business, upscale and uplift the small business people, then it's a worrying factor to you.
Honorable Adam, thank you. Department.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we would have inherited, not just in the small harbors throughout South Africa, village and municipality, not evidence of what is called 99 leases. And I think we ourselves will make some of those discoveries now as we go in through and formally trying to renew our leases. If we are locked into such leases, we have to conduct an investigation of how we got locked and whether or not that such lease is still indeed beneficial to us as a nation and to those communities. Because it has happened in the past, and there could be examples, and I hope I don't recover them here, that we have given away our property for as low as 1 cent a year. So, in that case, there may be, but a vast majority so far we have recovered are not 99 years. They are short-term leases. We're trying to work, depending on the scale of the investment, a period that is appropriate for that. So, in that respect, I think, you know, we can. So, insofar as the issues of Elands Bay and Doran Bay goes, we'll have to look at that as a specific issue and indeed see whether it does exist, and if it does, what it is. We are in engagements with Oceana on all their leases. We haven't finalized it. That engagement is just recent. The only one we finalized for Oceana was how they to prevent the closure of the factory. Okay? That we have to finalize and ensure that the factory does not close and jobs are lost. If so far as the rest, we are engaging with Oceana, and we can then report to you the next time on the claims in relation to Elands Bay and Wallachia.
Chairperson, I'd like to report on the specific question that was asked by member of the committee, Mr. Adams, on the infrastructure. And as a matter of fact, you cited three examples which are held by Gordon's Bank Health. And in terms of our planning, I'd like to stress this, the following. We will finalize the appointment of our consultants to start the planning process for the job to Plain Harbor in terms of the capital investment over the next 3 years. As I have it, if I'm successful today, we'll probably start tomorrow. That is how close we are in terms of the planning. Planning will be done in phases. We'll have to eat this elephant piece by piece. It's quite a huge job and investment. So the initial planning will be done as a matter of fact because of our relationship with the City of Cape Town and the province and the way that we've structured the memorandum of understanding to focus on Hull Bay and Goodness Bay and Cal Bay. Those will be the first because in terms of the planning, we must associate that with capital investment. So that is for the City of Cape Town. For the other municipalities across the other Cape Harbors, the other nine, it's in fact 13, but we always talk about 12. But if you look at it, St. Helena and Pepper Bay are seen as one. We have a similar process that we want to engage with the local municipalities in that respect. So our planning will initially be done over the months of March and April for those three and then be expanded to tackle the rest of the projects. Out of this spatial and economic development frameworks, we have typically located seven types of projects that run across all of, or that are evident to be critical across all of these harbors. And I've listed them in my discussion. So we would do phase planning firstly for these three harbors, and then in terms of our investment decisions going forward, expanding to all the other harbors. So we are very aware of the 16 vessels that are in OPEC, that are sunken. And if we lift them, we will modernize the harbor, we will create more berthing opportunity and all of that. We are going to focus on that. We understand, and I've visited those harbors. We know at Gordon's Bay how the silting up has happened. And I've actually got a photo with me that we took about a month ago of how we sort it up. And we understand that there's also issues of when you have to save lives at sea and you can't get out of harbors because of this, that it's an imperative. So that is where we will start. In the next meeting when we report back, as the Honourable Chairperson has said, we hope to give you specific deliverables on how we're going to target these areas. Once our consultants have done the planning, they will go out to tender. And in that, as the department, the plan is, we can inform through the service level agreements with our consultants who's going to manage the projects with us how the local content of work and people must happen in those harbors. So in any of these tendering processes, there are building mechanisms that we can use in order to give our people around those harbors first priorities in work in terms of expertise. Let me just check if I've got something to listen. Let me know quickly. It's Lambert's Bay, St. Helena, Pepper Bay, Gordon's Bay, Sultana, Hope Bay, the Cock Bay, then we go down to Hermanus, Still Bay, and right down to Honison, Hans Bay. Those are the 12, but Pepper Bay and St. Helena are seen as well.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. There are just two questions that one has identified as hanging. It's the question that was asked by Honourable Adams on why China, not Malaysia. The agreement with China is within the framework of country-to-country cooperation agreement. It is not exclusive only to China. We will interact with other governments, including Malaysia, on lessons that can be learned, and especially because in terms of the development of small harbors, the country has not been doing any work that is comprehensive for quite a number of years. So we would want to benefit from their experience, including African countries. Like for instance, in Namibia, there are projects currently being implemented on developing small harbors, and we intend to interact with those developments. On the issue of public accountability, I think my colleagues also touched on it, that whatever work that we do in small harbors, we make it a point that we interact with the municipality and we get guided through their public participation processes in interacting with the local community. And I've also just, on the issue of context, indicate that we participate in the ocean economy operation Pakisa touching of government, that the sub team is led by the Department of Environmental Affairs. And our participation is more on small harbors and in terms of providing for accommodation needs, whether through leases or through capital and maintenance work that the colleagues have been able to reflect on. And when we appear before the committee again, we will definitely provide specifics in terms of projects that we are implementing, including the figure on the SME development and also the internal figures as members, as honorable members of the committee have directed.
I think I looked through my notes. I think we have responded to all the questions. I think maybe you make the point, and there are issues that we will follow up that are specific. I do not know whether we can respond before the next hearing. If so, we can then try to do that within 14 days.
Thank you very much to the Director General and your delegation in regard to this particular briefing. I don't see any further requests by members to speak further in regard to this particular issue. That being the case, shall we deal with the next briefing? Folks, chairpersons have got very few, if any, powers. May I suggest that we have a 15-minute break for tea? Comfort break. So if we could recommence by 10 past.
Gracias.